Welcome to The Creative Shift. My name is Dan Blank, author of the book Be the Gateway and founder of WeGrowMedia.com. So I was listening to an interview the other day between Conan O'Brien and Tom Hanks. And from the late 80s to early 90s, Conan was one of the writers on Saturday Night Live. And he was describing how in the 4 or 5 years that Conan worked on the show, Tom Hanks seemed to be the guest that worked the hardest. He described that, and I'll quote, "Everyone else would dip in and out," meaning in and out of the writers' rooms. They would go and check in on the writers, but then they would go out with the show's producer and kind of just pop in and out a little bit. And Conan said to Tom, "You were alone in your dedication to making it a great show." He described that Tom would be there all night, staying up all night long. He'd walk in and Tom is laying in the middle on the middle of the conference room table, looking up, kind of pitching ideas for sketches or trying to develop a sketch. And Conan went on to say, "You are an example of someone who it's not an accident. I can't believe how hard you worked." And the phrase that he used, "it's not an accident," is something that I think about a lot. It's really what drives so much of why I love doing this podcast. Because what I'm doing is I discover writers and artists and musicians and creators who inspire me. And this is an excuse for me to get to learn their story, to ask all the questions I have about, oh my gosh, how did you do this? How did you create work that's so meaningful to people? How did you share this in a way that's meaningful? Because inevitably, we find it was difficult and it was a very long and arduous road. And what I like about having the podcast is that we can hear the incredible diversity of stories. And of course, everyone's story is different. And I like highlighting that. So much of what I hear again and again in terms of advice for how we create or how we share is the idea of the best practice. You know, here's this system. And I mean, look, I work with writers every day and I have systems I share with them. But in the end, everyone's path is different and unique to them. And this concept of it's not an accident, meaning here is someone who, sure, they had to get fortunate, maybe even lucky a few times, but that they were going to work at this as hard as they possibly could, maybe in a certain context, harder than most other people. And that in doing so, they are increasing the likelihood that they would find success, that they would create something that was meaningful to them and meaningful to other people. And that they would find a way to share it that felt both authentic and effective. So my most recent interview was with author Jasmine Darznik. And again, this is a thread that really drove the conversation, drove my questions about how did she do this? And her story is just so fascinating to me. And I'll say up front, you know, she and I worked together. We worked together leading up to her most recent book launch. Of her book, The Bohemians. And in watching her launch that book and looking at, you know, how it was received and learning more and more about her, I became really curious about her backstory. And it's interesting. Nowadays, I start every podcast episode by asking, growing up, did you feel you had a sense of permission to create? And everyone shares it a little differently. Usually it's kind of this binary answer, whether it's like, oh my gosh, yes, or oh my goodness, no. And she had that no answer. The way that she described it is that not only did she not feel a sense of permission, she felt a sense of prohibition, that this is something that not only would she not be rewarded for, but it could work against her. And given context, she shared something that I thought, you know, really resonated. She said, "I kept diaries when I was little and my mother would habitually read them. So it was a creative act, but it was always accompanied by the potential for some kind of punishment or shame. How can you be honest in a diary when you know that's going to happen? From when I was 8 years old, I grew up with a sense that writing was dangerous. Yet it was something I was absolutely drawn to. And so often when I work with a writer or creator, we talk about the idea of sharing. So much of what I do is help people get clarity on how to share their work, how to pump, you know, how to promote their work, how to market their work, how to launch their work. And for people who have not really been public with their writing or even themselves, they will communicate to me some sense that they feel there's danger. And I have such a profound respect for that. And we very carefully walk through different options they have, because I want everyone to feel, in their own way, safe and comfortable with anything they do to share their work. And I think that sometimes it's possible to forget that just the act of creating can have that same sense of danger. And for people who have not written a song, written a novel, written a memoir, created a work of art and put it out there, I think that fear is very apparent. And after a while, once you've given yourself permission to create, you might forget that that act can be terrifying to people. Jasmine shared her story about how at age 5, she had immigrated to the United States from Iran with her family. And this is just always so fascinating, this idea of, she described how her parents were, I believe they were an engineer and a nurse. But coming here, they didn't have, I believe, the credentials needed to practice those in those fields in the United States. So they bought a small motel 10 miles south of San Francisco. So that's always interesting, because it paints such a picture of a life where, of course, she was at the motel a lot because her parents were working there. And, you know, in talking about how she moved from being a child into an adult, you know, she said there were expectations on her that she would marry young, and that this was something that she was not too keen on. So she moved into academia. She went to UCLA, and then she went to get her degree in law. But, and we hear this a lot with writers I talk to, and the law degree comes up quite often, actually. I think because law seems to be one of those areas where there's a lot of writing, but it's also a very, very well-established career that's easy when you're young to think, I'll go into law. It's a very well-established career. It can be a high-paying career, and it does not afford the same kinds of risks that the arts do. That, you know, kind of saying at 18 or 21 or 28, I'm going to be a writer. And it was interesting to hear how she made a creative shift away from that. She said, I was applying to graduate schools in English while everyone else was applying for internships at fancy law firms. She applied for a semester for studying creative writing at Harvard. And then, in her words, I was planning my escape, my exit. And again, these are the moments I just love in an interview. This idea of really remembering what it feels like just to become clear about what your passion is. And to make the smallest shift towards it doesn't just feel like, yeah, I took some classes to try it out. It can feel like a harrowing escape. She said she took some graduate courses in English in Berkeley, and another great quote, that is where I feel my life began. I mean, I've heard this, you know, we did the interview a while ago, I've written this again and again, and even just kind of saying those words aloud, it is just profound to think about that statement. That when she shifted as an adult towards writing, that that's when she felt her life began. And she moved to Princeton, New Jersey for school. She said that was her move towards independence. And the funny thing is, here she is pursuing becoming a professor in English, and it was still a decade before she would think it was a possibility for her to become an author. Even then, it still took another decade. And I just love how she shared that process. She said she took a creative writing class at her local bookstore, which is Book Passage in San Francisco. And this is really neat. She said, I was in that class for 2 years, 10 weeks at a time. And this is that kind of thing, again, that I just love, is that idea that she didn't just take the 10-week class and finish it and say, wow, that was great. The class is done. She re-enrolled in it and re-enrolled in it and re-enrolled in it again and again and again. And I love that kind of gumption. When I was in high school, I was a runner and I was a long distance runner. I ran on the cross country team, and for track, I'd run both seasons, and I typically ran the longer races, 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 miles. And I think that for me, anything where stamina or endurance is involved, I just gravitate towards, because that was my experience with running, is it's incremental for this long period of time. But it's also my experience with the arts. I grew up as the art kid, and I've had all kinds of projects over the years, and it's always this long-term incremental thing. And I love that idea of her re-enrolling in this class again and again. She said it was once a week on Friday nights. I lived for those Friday nights. And when she describes this in the podcast, what you really come away with is this sense of her finding a community, a support system for her writing, which is so critical. It wasn't just her taking a course or reading a book and saying, I wrote every night by myself, which, by the way, would be amazing regardless. But that she felt seen, and she was having her writing read by other people. She was reading their writing. She was in conversation, and she was being supported. And this led to the next big creative shift, which was submitting her writing for publication. And she was encouraged to do that. And it was surprised her that people did that. And she said that it was transformative to get that kind of validation. Again, another huge word to think about. So she submitted her work to local newspapers, and I like how she described how her first piece was published in a small local free newspaper. And she described the feeling of seeing that publication as, I felt like I had made it. And this is, again, something I like about really slowing down and going through someone's journey, because her first book, her first memoir, was a New York Times bestseller. Yet, when a few years before, when she got an essay in a free local newspaper, that's when she felt like she made it. And that for each of us, we, in our journeys and whatever we create and share, there are these milestones again and again and again. And your milestone is different from someone else's. We have to be careful about how we compare what we accomplish to what others accomplish. She said, I was lucky that I had someone early in my writing who was telling me to publish. One of the things it teaches you is to finish things, knowing that you'll submit it. And that makes it harder to work on, that you get in the habit, finish it, send it out. You're in the game now. And again, I like that idea of, like, to me, that's bridging the gap between this concept of writing as craft, writing what's in the heart, and also taking it seriously as a career, as a profession. This idea of being in the game is something you hear again and again and again from writers. I used to work with a lot of journalists and reporters and freelance writers. And this is something that they'll tell you again and again, or you'll observe again and again. They are just constantly in the cycle of coming up with ideas, of getting it done, of doing the research, of crafting the piece, going through the arduous editorial process, publishing it, and then repeating that process again and again and again, including through multitudes of failure of doing that and not getting it placed, not getting it published, that you keep doing that. I'm not at all implying that everyone should view it that way, but that if you're someone who wants to share, wants to take a more professional view of what you do to get your work in the marketplace, that might be a part of it. And I think accepting that can help you really move through those waves of rejection or uncertainty. She and I worked together on the book launch of The Bohemians, which was her third book. And that was really fun because, we looked at her social media strategy. She was publishing essays. She was focusing on getting within book clubs. And I love seeing how Jasmine shares on social media, specifically on Instagram, because there's such a clear focus and passion. You get a sense of the themes that she loves writing about, the era, the characters, all of that. And it's filled with such an honesty and such a joy. And she's very prolific with it, which is just wonderful. So I highly recommend you go and check out my interview with Jasmine Darznik. Google her, you'll find all of her books and her Instagram and her website. All right. My name again is Dan Blank. You can find me at wegrowmedia.com or on social media at Dan Blank. Thank you so much for listening until the end.